So here was a problem. With 5,000 people, there's not enough food. One boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus said in verse 18, Matthew 14:18, bring them here to me. And he ordered the multitudes to recline on the grass. And now see what he did. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there were 2 things that he did. He blessed it, verse 19, and then he broke it, and then fed the multitude. Now what I want you to see is, when he blessed the 5 loaves, it was still 5 loaves. But when he broke it, it became 50,000 loaves to feed all those 10,000 people, 5,000 men, plus a lot of women and children. So how did the 5 loaves become 50,000? Not just by being blessed, but by being broken. There's a message there which the disciples probably didn't understand then, but they understood later. Very often, we are so eager to pray, Lord, bless me. Bless me. It's one of the most common prayers that all believers pray. You're blessed and you remain the same. We also need to pray, Lord, now that you've blessed me, break me. Then 5 will become 50,000. This is the secret. Whether you see it in the grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying and coming forth so that we can see Jesus more clearly, or whether it's in the alabaster vial of perfume that's broken so that the odor fills the whole house, or in the feeding of a multitude, it's always brokenness, brokenness, brokenness. We read in the Old Testament of examples like this. You know, the great man Moses. He was mighty in word and deed, we read, at the age of 40, but he was not fit to lead God's people. You can be mighty in scripture, mighty in preaching, and you're unfit to lead God's people. God needed to take Moses into the wilderness for 40 years and break him. How did he break him? He made him live in his father-in-law's house for 40 years. You try living in your father-in-law's house for 1 year and see what will happen. You marry somebody and live with her father and work for her father. Any of you experienced that? I don't know. 1 year would be enough. Imagine 40 years and a guy who was the ruler in Egypt going to be the next Pharaoh. Boy, God really knows how to humble people. He humbled him so much that at the end of 40 years, he was such a broken man, Moses, that when God said, Moses, I want you to lead my people, he said, Lord, not me. Please send somebody else. I'm not fit. This man who at the age of 40 was such an eloquent speaker, such a powerful man, with one hit, he could kill an Egyptian. Imagine killing an Egyptian with one blow in his hand. He was really strong. But he wasn't broken. I mean, if he had tried to deliver the Israelites like that, killing one Egyptian at a time, where would he have finished? God said, that's not my way. He broke him, and as a broken man, he stood at the Red Sea and lifted up his rod, old 80-year-old man, and he didn't kill one Egyptian. He killed the entire Egyptian army under the Red Sea. They were all buried there. And God was saying, do you know what I can do through a broken man? What could you do, Moses, when you were strong in yourself? You killed one person? See now what I did. I delivered all of you. That is a great lesson in the Old Testament. When God gives a man leadership, he has to first take him through an education of brokenness. And I really believe that is the reason why we don't have many godly, humble leaders today whom God can anoint and back up. India needs a lot more like that. The world needs a lot more like that. Many who are blessed, tremendously blessed. They've got such abilities and such They can sing well, they can preach well, they know the Bible so well. What's missing? Brokenness. The grain of wheat is still a beautiful grain of wheat. It's on display in the pulpits in a glass case. Not much fruit. Not much fruit in their life. Even after years and years, they still lose their temper. They still get into bad moods and no self-control. What's the reason? They've never allowed God to break them. They always want to appear good and great and spiritual before the eyes of man. You really want to be spiritual, my dear brothers and sisters, let me give you a little bit of advice. Stop trying to appear spiritual before people. It's a battle. It's very, very difficult. But if you stop trying to appear spiritual before people, and when you lose your reputation, rejoice. Jesus said, leap for joy when people speak evil about you. How many times have you leapt for joy when you were misunderstood and people spoke evil of you? No, you want to justify yourself and say, no, it was not like that. It was this. And another opportunity to be broken, missed. And God gives you hundreds of opportunities to be broken and you miss all of them. And you wonder at the end of so many years why it's not better with you than it should be. Why there's not a greater anointing in your life? Why rivers are not flowing out of your life? Why scripture is not opening up to you in revelation? I'll tell you the answer. Live before the face of God. Alone. And if God breaks you through your father-in-law or mother-in-law or anybody, just let Him break you. And humble you. And make you small in your own eyes. You know, when King Saul fell away, what Samuel told him, it's very interesting. If you turn to 1 Samuel, and I think it's chapter 13. It's either in chapter 13 or chapter 15, I'm not very sure where. You know, the Lord told him to go and kill all the Amalekite sheep. But before that, once when he acted as a, in 1 Samuel 13, he acted as a priest. We read that in verse 12. Samuel, he said to Samuel, I saw the Philistines coming and I forced myself to offer an offering. And he had no right to offer an offering. He was not a priest. And Samuel said, you have acted foolishly. Now the Lord would have established you as king forever. But now he's taken away the kingdom from you. And he's appointed a man after his own heart. In chapter 15, it happened a second time. When the Lord told him, go and kill all the Amalekites. And he didn't kill all the Amalekites. He said, I've taken some of the best of the Amalekites and I give them to you. And the Lord, Samuel told him in 1 Samuel 15:22, does the Lord have delight in sacrifices or in obedience? To obey is better than sacrifice. And somewhere there he says, when you were small in your own eyes. Chapter 13? 15:17, yeah. Okay, thank you. 15:17, yeah. When you were little in your own eyes. I'm getting old. I missed the verses. When you were little in your own eyes, God made you the head, anointed you king. I want to ask all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, please examine yourself carefully. Was there a time when you were little in your own eyes? Not so today, right? Now you're a big person. You're an important person. You're a respected person. You're appreciated. You've become prominent. No wonder your spiritual life has gone down. It's a very blessed thing to remain little in our own eyes. That's how Saul lost his kingdom. And that's how many people lose the anointing. And that's how many people, that's the reason why many people don't progress. It's because they are not broken. To be little in our own eyes is to become small. We're really small. We possess the kingdom of God. Otherwise, all you'll get is a kingdom in the church or the kingdom on earth where people respect you. I'm not interested in a kingdom in the church or on the earth. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, if you want to possess the kingdom of God, you must be able to go through the eye of a needle. A camel can't go through the eye of a needle. You've heard me say how an amoeba, which is the smallest of all beings, amoeba is so small, you've got to see it, and I don't know whether you can even see it under a microscope, but it's so small that the eye of a needle is as big as that door. It can just run in and out of the eye of a needle. Why? Because it's small. Whereas we find it so difficult even to put a thread through an eye of a needle. An amoeba is so small, it's no problem. I can run in and out of it without touching the edges of that eye of the needle. Smallness. That's what, and Jesus said, that's how you enter God's kingdom. You cannot enter the God's kingdom, he said, unless you can go through the eye of a needle.